You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
Well, let me ask you a question that is an obvious answer, but still I want to ask it anyway. How many of you would like to have a joy-filled life? Can I get an amen? Yes. Not occasionally, not just an emotional experience. I'm talking about a way of life, something that literally can be 24/7 in your life. Almost seems impossible to think about joy in terms of that, but we're not talking about an emotion, just an emotion. We're talking about a way of life. But I think the real question for this audience, the one that may get a number of different responses, would be this. How many are actually really experiencing joy consistently? Now think about it for just a moment. How many in the building want joy? All of us. How many of us are experiencing joy consistently? Living in joy. And maybe it's because we've all had days when the sun is not shining. Are you with me? Has anybody ever had a day like that? You know, I looked at my weather app just because I knew I was going to be saying that. And I thought, all right, how many sunshiny days do we have this week? It's not looking good, family. There's a lot of rain expected, sometimes 90, 100%. And then even today, you know, it kind of started off a little cloudy. That's sometimes how life is. You can have day after day after day where it's just like, is the sun going to shine again? But when the sun is shining, oh, man, it makes all the difference in the world. Makes it easier. Or maybe when the bills are paid. Can I get an amen for bills being paid? Hallelujah. Hey, and after you're done, still a little money in the bank. And a few dollars in the pocket. By the way, this is after your tithe is paid. Okay, anyway. And I'm joking. Well, was it? No, yeah. And so, you know, you got enough money to buy a cup of coffee. Bills are paid. Oh, what about this? The kids are behaving. Okay, I'll go on to the next one. What about those days where the car starts? You know, I got up this morning. I get up early on Sundays. I'm in my car at 6:15. I press that button, and I just wait for that glorious noise. I'm like, yes, yes, the car started again. You know why? Because I've had cars that haven't started. And nothing worse than starting your day off stuck, right? Well, I love those days when the coffee is hot. Hallelujah for a good hot cup of coffee. The other day, I think Glory Ann turned the coffee pot off. She has no idea what I'm talking about here, but she turned it off. So guess what? When I brewed the coffee, it was cold, and she didn't seem to care. Anyway, but that's okay, Glory Ann. I don't mind. I love you anyway. She's smiling. I love a hot cup of coffee. Everything seems to be falling into place. That's the kind of days I'm looking for. But let's be honest. Life is not always fun in the sun. Just to get real for just a moment, sometimes the diagnosis is they come in. And sometimes as a pastor, it's the first thing I hear about. I had a call recently from a friend of mine named Mick Singer. Kyle Jennings in our first service invited Mick to become a friend of mine. We've been developing a friendship for 2 years. Mick just found out he's loaded up with cancer in his hip. They took him to MD Anderson. He's been there for about a month. They're just trying to figure a way to somehow extend his life. It's so difficult. And I've been ministering to Nick, bought him a new Bible, told him the other day, I can't wait to give you this new Bible, Mick. He said, are you going to write it for me? Are you going to write a note for me? Texting verses all the time. It's hard. Ralph Ohm, the circuit court judge that was the chairman of the college for 10 years, just found out he has prostate cancer. And so he's dealing with a lot of that. And so there's a lot that goes into that. And we're praying for him and we're believing for healing. But it's still difficult to get that call, to get that text, or to get that announcement that, hey, unfortunately, what about when relationships fall apart? Sometimes it happens, doesn't it? Anybody ever been through a relationship that just fell apart? Yesterday, I was out at my gym in the village, and a guy came in to sign up, and he wasn't with his wife, and I said, hey, man, where's your wife? He said, you haven't heard? I said, no. He said, man, you got time? I said, I got a minute. So we sat down 30 minutes. Just awful. Just, my goodness. I just listened to this man just pour out his heart to me about the destruction of their marriage. The kids are in, it's just a court battle. It was just so difficult. Sometimes relationships fall apart. Sometimes finances tighten. Got a call this week from a church member. This is all this week. All this week. Call this week from a church member. hey, I lost my job, Pastor. Is there any way you could just keep your eyes open? I'm not sure how this is all going to work out, but it was devastating. They're just cutting back. And I didn't do anything wrong. I was just the next one in line. Things happen, don't they? Pressure at work builds. Anxiety rises. Sometimes disappointment just hits us super hard, and the future feels incredibly uncertain. And for these reasons, we need something deeper than just happiness. We actually need to know what it means to have the joy of the Lord. There's a reason why we started off with an upbeat song. It's not because we knew everybody walked into the building this morning having had a wonderful week where everything fell into place. It's because we know there's something different about joy. And we all need this fruit. And so joy is the next summer fruit in a series on the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we talked about love. This week, joy. Next week, peace. And I'm just so excited about this summer series. And I want to just plug the fathers for just a moment. Just for a moment. On this Father's Day, I think one of the greatest gifts that a father can bring into the home is not just protection, not just provision. Those things are important. Not just leadership. Dads, if you're here this morning and under the sound of my voice and influence, we need to bring those things into the home. But can I tell you, more than all of those, we need to bring some joy. We need to bring joy. Oh, listen, a joyful father can change the atmosphere of a home. I've always believed that. I've always known that the ministry was going to drain me sometimes. I always knew that. It kind of comes with the territory. You know, there's a lot involved in being a pastor. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in the course of a week. And you often hear the bad news before anybody else. And there's a lot of things that can drain you. But I know that because of the joy of the Lord, I can still walk in my home every single afternoon or evening. And I can sing. And I do. And usually when I walk into my home, my kids know this. How many thousands of times have they heard Dad walking? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighbor. Would you be mine? You say, you like Mr. Rogers? I actually do. I've done that for years. I just feel like our family needs to hear Dad have a little joy. Children remember more than what a father provided financially. They remember what spirit Dad had spiritually and emotionally. What did you carry into the home? Children remember how Dad handled pressure. Children remember how Dad responded to stress, how Dad treated people. Whether he brought peace into the home or whether Dad brought panic into the home. And so this really, though, doesn't just apply to fathers, although it is Father's Day. It applies to all of us in the building this morning. Because every believer under the sound of my voice will have the opportunity this week to change the atmosphere around them with joy. You have that opportunity. The fruit of joy in your life. God wants his people to carry a joy that points people to Jesus. I said it last week too, didn't I? I just said it with love. God wants his people to have love, to carry love. Why? To point people to Jesus. Guess what I'm going to say next week? God wants his people to have peace. Why? To point people to Jesus. This is why the fruit of the Spirit is so important. Because joy is not something reserved for perfect circumstances. Joy is something that God can produce in us even when life is difficult. In the hardest of circumstances, in the most pressure times, we can still have joy. And that's why this message this morning, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for coming. This message this morning is so important. It matters so much because the world desperately needs people who know how to rejoice in hard seasons and difficult circumstances. So many people just panic with the world. We just go along with whatever's happening in the world. We panic with them. We criticize with them. We complain with the crowd. We can oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can become negative so quickly. But empowered, spirit-filled believers can live differently. That's why I always like to put the word empowered in every sermon that I preach. Because this year, it's all about the Spirit of God empowering us to be able to accomplish these things that in the flesh are impossible. But in the Spirit, all things are possible. Joyful Christians become emotional thermostats instead of thermometers. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. You see, a thermometer merely reflects the temperature around it, doesn't it? That's what a thermometer does. But a thermostat changes the atmosphere. And a joyful Christian can be a thermostat that changes the atmosphere. And in a culture that's filled with fear, in a culture that's filled with negativity, in a culture that is filled with outrage, think about it. Even this week, outrage and anxiety and discouragement. God wants his people to provide the fruit of joy, real joy, wonderful joy. So let me explain something to you this morning that will help all of it make sense. There's a danger in confusing happiness with joy. Are you with me? There's a danger in that. I know this is familiar territory for about 60 seconds, but it's necessary to deposit this into the message right now so the rest of it will really truly impact and make sense. Happiness depends on the circumstances happening. Let me say it again. Happiness depends on the circumstances happening, which means sometimes the circumstances that are happening are not making me happy. They're making me sad. When somebody doesn't treat me right, I'm not happy about that. When things don't work out the way that I thought, I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy about a flat tire. You know, I don't get out and look at a flat tire. Oh, this is so awesome. I love you, flat tire. Fantastic. Man, I'll tell you what, I woke up just thinking I need a flat tire today, you know. See, that would be stupid. Exactly. That's the point. Happiness is dependent upon the circumstances happening around me. But joy, don't miss this. Joy is deeper than circumstances. Joy is not based on what is happening around me. Joy is based on what God is doing within me. Within me. You see, that's why Paul could sing and rejoice in prison. I mean, it doesn't make sense, does it? We hear Paul singing in a Mamertine prison filled with bugs and algae and mold and guards and threats and cursing and slapping and abuse and persecution. And Paul finds a space and place to sing, the Bible says. Doesn't make sense apart from where we're going in the message. This is why Christians could rejoice in persecution. Why Stephen could be stoned and look to the heavens and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not, you know, they don't know what they're doing. How could that happen? We're going to find out this morning. We're going to dive in this summer series on the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to dive into joy this morning. And this morning, I want to give you three ways to produce the fruit of joy in your life. Are you ready? These are ways you can produce the fruit of joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Number one, see life through God's perspective. You got to see life through God's perspective. So I'm going to, full disclosure here, spend a little more time on number one, and I'm going to zip through two and three. So number one's the key. Two and three will come a little easier if we can see life through God's perspective. Now, to do that, I want to look at some amazing verses in 1 Thessalonians. Paul wrote these words. They are amazing. These are some of those verses in Scripture that come so quick. They're so abrupt. They're so short. They're easy to read that we can easily look over them. But if we'll read them and then pause, they kind of slap us across the face. It's like, whoa, it's like a bolt of lightning. Are you ready for it? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Yes. Okay, Pastor. And what's the rest of the verse? That's it. I'm done with that one. Just rejoice always. Verse 2, you ready? Here we go. Pray constantly. Okay, and that's it. Just pray constantly. Looks like to me that praying constantly has something to do with me having joy. Everybody with me? All right, verse number 3, a little bit more, but still kind of quickly and kind of still that slap. Give thanks in everything. Whoa, wait a minute. In everything, yes. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Pay close attention to the screen. Notice what Paul says. not rejoice and give thanks for everything. I want you to notice that little word, I-N, not for everything. Don't have to do that. Amen. In everything. Not for, but it. That little word changes everything, because some things in life are painful and I can't give thanks for them. Some things in life are heartbreaking. They're heavy. But here's what I can give thanks in. In everything, because God is immutable. God doesn't change. God is always the same. God remains faithful. He's always faithful. Joy is not pretending that problems don't exist. Joy is confidence that God is still in control even when life feels out of control. That's joy. That's the difference. Joy is not the absence of trouble. Joy is the presence of God. This is the fruit of joy. Joy grows when our perspective changes. When we have God's perspective. So let me give you three truths about joy and perspective. And I'll give you these quickly, but don't miss them. It's a foundational thought. Number one, perspective will shape your response. Your perspective will shape your response to whatever it is you're going through. Let me give you an example. Agree or disagree? Two people can walk through the exact same storm and respond completely differently. It's true. If you think with me hard enough, or just sometime throughout the day, I don't want you to get off your focus, but I think most of us could probably think of maybe even times when our spouses reacted differently to the same situation, maybe when siblings or friends or coworkers, or just in situations, we often see two people going through the exact same thing. One person becomes bitter and the other becomes stronger. You ever wondered why that happens? Perspective. Perspective determines interpretation. This is why Paul could say in Philippians chapter 1, don't miss this, verse 12, here's what Paul said in prison, writing this letter. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, I know the circumstances are bad, but let me tell you what I want you to know, bro and sis, that it's actually advanced the gospel. So that it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard, and actually like to everyone, that my imprisonment, me being here in shackles in this awful environment, is because I'm in Christ. Most of the brothers have actually, get this, this is incredible, brothers and sisters. Most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord because of my imprisonment. And they dare even more to speak the word of God fearlessly. I mean, it's amazing. Most of us would look at someone being in prison as defeat, but Paul's response is he saw purpose in the pain. He saw purpose in the pain and what he was going through. Oh, listen, that's a God perspective. And so I want you to think about this statement on the screen. I want you to take it in this morning. What if the thing that you're complaining about is actually the thing that God wants to use? What if the thing that you're complaining about is actually the thing that God wants to use? Oh, listen to me. That's the difference between worldly thinking and spirit-filled thinking. Worldly thinking says, God, why is this happening to me? But spirit-filled thinking with joy stops and says, God, what are you producing through this? I know you allowed this. And God, what are you producing? What do you want to teach me through this? How can I use this to bring others to you? Joy. Number two, perspective, it sustains our rejoicing. It shapes our response, but it also sustains our rejoicing. God will not abandon his people. Understand this, and we see it here. Joy grows. Joy grows when we remember that God is still working. God is still present. God is still faithful. God is still in control. Even when, here's my list of even whens. Even when life feels uncertain and burdens feel heavy. Even when the job is uncertain. Even when the future is unclear. Even when the family is struggling. Even when the diagnosis is difficult. God is still working. Amen. God will not abandon us. This is Romans 8:28. Again, you've got to look at it and read it in contextually pure. The Bible says that all things work together for the good. It doesn't say all things are good. Don't read it like that. All things are not good. Amen. But all things work together for our good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, God can work all things together for good. That perspective protects our joy. And then finally, number three, perspective strengthens our gratitude. Perspective strengthens our gratitude. It's no wonder it said that we should rejoice always and we should pray constantly and we should give thanks. All of that has something to do with rejoicing always. I'm not sure that I can rejoice always if I'm not praying, and I know I can't rejoice always if I'm not giving gratitude, because gratitude fuels joy. It fuels it. It's like pulling right up to the gas station, and the more thankful I am, the more joy I have. It's incredible. I love to give thanks, love to write thank you cards, love to write you birthday. I love you more. Look, every one of you in this church gets a birthday card from me. And when I write that birthday card, I pray for you. I thank God for you. I think about you. I think about how blessed I am to be your pastor. What an honor it is. Man, listen, you talk about, I'm not just writing those cards for you. I'm writing them for me. It fuels me. That's what gratitude does. Negative people constantly focus on what is missing. I remember growing up, my mother, oh man, I love you, Mom. And I hope you think there's kitchens in heaven where like good cooks cook? I think so. And if not, don't tell me. I want to think it anyway until I get there and find out for sure. I hope my mom's a chef in heaven. She's the best. She cooked this meal called red gravy. Now, when you're Italian, and if you are Italian, you know, you don't call spaghetti spaghetti. You call it red gravy. It's a different level. It's thick meat sauce. It's gravy that's cooked for hours upon hours. Mom usually averaged 12 to 18 hours on her gravy, and it was a beautiful red sauce that just had a mixture of all kinds of spices and all the different things that I don't even know what she was putting in it, and she never measured anything. She just put it in, and she somehow knew how much to put in, right? And after, you know, it would boil real thick. After a while, it would splatter up on the roof because I had to clean it after every meal, get on a ladder, wipe the roof down. But it was worth every minute because that red gravy was a game changer, a life changer. And I'm still talking about it today with Mom on Streets of Gold. And then she'd make this pineapple salad. Oh, my goodness. Mo, have you ever had that pineapple salad change your life, man? I mean, I know it sounds funny, but it's the best salad you've ever had. Pineapple salad. It'd be on there. So you've got this red gravy mounded with Parmesan cheese, hallelujah, red peppers, and pineapple salad. And then you've got this little green spot, peas. I hate peas. To me, they look like rolled up little boogers. I cannot take them. I mean, they're just disgusting to me. I always have been. It's the only thing I don't like, but I can't say. And Mom would put that plate after all the laborious and love and time and the mound of red gravy. I mean, it was obvious. The most of it was red gravy. The whole plate was red gravy. Then the pineapple salad. Then the green boogers. And I had to eat it. She called it an oh thank you bite. And believe me, I did not have any thanks for those things. As I held my nose and drank water and swallowed those boogers, let me tell you, it's all I could talk about. I didn't see the best. I didn't see the beauty of the red gravy. I didn't see the beauty of the salad. I just saw the green peas that I didn't like. The one thing is what I pointed out. So many of us can be like that. If we're not careful, we can walk out of a Sunday morning. We can baptize. We can talk about kids getting saved at Teen Revolution. We can rejoice about our First Impressions ministry and a deacon. We can pray over our New York City missions trip. We can hear about a kids camp opportunity. We can have all of this celebration. And if we're not careful, the first words we have when we get in the car was, you know, so-and-so didn't shake my hand. You know, I can't believe it, but I'm not sure what pastor's thinking. It's just what the temperature was. It seemed like a little bit off today. You know, they misspelled a word on the screen. I'm telling you, I don't know what they're doing up there. He talked about the media team. They need to fix some stuff. Now, I'm joking, sort of, but I'm not. Are you with me? Are you listening? And I'm not thinking of anybody when I say it. I'm just trying to make a point. Joyful people learn to thank God for what remains. Gratitude changes perspective. Instead of what's wrong with my life, we begin asking, what has God already blessed me with? What has God already blessed me with? Oh, listen, a thankful heart becomes fertile soil for joy. Maybe you've heard of Kay Warren. Kay is Rick Warren's wife. Rick and Kay Warren are an amazing couple that were pastored for decades in California. Not pastoring anymore, but he wrote that bestseller called Purpose Driven Life, and it's impacted a lot of lives, and no pastor is perfect, including myself, and we never agree with everything on anybody, but I'll tell you, I have such great respect for Rick and Kay Warren. They, and I've read much of their stuff, listened to many sermons. Kay made a statement after her son committed suicide. It was the most devastating thing they've ever been through. Just like Josh talked and prayed through the father, the different dichotomy that we deal with sometimes in our mindset about dads, we have to also be very careful, and we're mindful of the fact that there are people in this room that have been affected by suicide. But I want you to know there's hope. And Kay Warren wrote these words while she was talking, and I grabbed it from the book and put it on the screen, and it's this, I quote, joy. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of the details of life. And because of that, it gives me confidence that everything's going to be okay and we can still praise Him. Wow. So powerful. Number one, see life through God's perspective. Number two, and I'll be quick on these last two. I promise. I was the first service. I'll be it again. Stay close to God's presence. I've laid the foundation. Now understand, in order for us to have to produce the fruit of joy, we must stay close to the presence of God. Now, one of the greatest sources of joy is knowing our standing with God. Just how close are we to God? What does it mean to be a child of God? What does it look like to be reconciled to God, to be saved, to be born again, to be redeemed by the blood? What does that look like? No greater place in Scripture, and I usually don't read this many passages at one time, although if there's one thing I'm told more than any other thing about the sermons that are preached by the pastors at Gospel Light is we do use a lot of Scripture, so we don't apologize for that. But I want to read you 11 verses all together. It takes about 63 seconds, I think I timed it in my office. And so listen as I read you a few seconds of Scripture, one after the other. And while I'm reading them, I want you to think about your standing with God. Listen to this. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. This will never change if you're a child of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, and we've also, hey, let me add this. We've also obtained access through Him by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, let me tell you this. We also boast in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character. Proven character produces hope, and this hope will not disappoint. Oh, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us and will never be taken away. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might dare to die. But God proved His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more? How much more then? Since we have now been justified by His blood, will we be saved through Him from wrath? This will never change. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? And not only that, But we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received this reconciliation. Can I get an amen? When you know you're standing in God, it changes everything. The presence of God in our lives produces that kind of joy. And I love the first two verses real quickly just to point out four different things. It says in verse 1, therefore we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. Notice that. We have peace with God. That will never change. We can stand on the promise of the peace of God. Verse 2, we've obtained access. We have access to God 24/7. Access to God. You can talk to him anytime. He's always there. We have access to his faith, into this grace which we stand. And look at the final thing. We have hope. Hope in God. Hope of the glory of God. Oh, think about that. Because of Jesus, you are saved. You are secure. You are forgiven. You are accepted. All because of Jesus. That means your joy is not tied to temporary circumstances. Your joy is tied to an eternal relationship. Hallelujah. My joy is not dependent on this old earth. Amen. My body's getting older. It's not getting any easier to get up. I know my time is short. I know my years are more behind me than in front of me. I get all that, but I've got an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ that will never perish and never go away. Hallelujah. So whatever this life brings me, if anything, it's just a doorstep to eternity with God. Oh, I love it. So thankful for that. Three results of God's presence. One, God's presence produces joy. His presence produces joy. Joy is the presence of God in your life. I don't know how many of you remember this old song. I'm going to get nostalgic for a minute. I got two or three songs I'll sing before the end of the service. They're going to take like a few seconds. Anybody remember the chorus? If you've got joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. If you want joy, you got to let Jesus in. Let Jesus in. Oh, man, I was talking in our spark huddle yesterday, Austin. We had a great spark huddle yesterday. We all agreed. It was amazing. One of the things we gave our testimonies. All of us, all four of us gave our testimony. And when I got to Austin, he got saved just a couple of years ago. Man, he told his story. He said, it was just the greatest day of my life. I mean, everything's changed since that day. So true, Austin. The joy doesn't mean life's perfect. Doesn't mean circumstances are great. Doesn't mean we still don't have hard days. But that doesn't change. The joy of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, you reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. You know what that teaches me? You can have success. You can have possessions. You can have popularity and still have no joy. Because joy is not found in possessions. Joy is found in the presence of God. Joy. God's presence provides strength. It provides strength to keep going. Can I tell you one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture? Memorized it years ago. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how I keep going. It's the joy of the Lord that keeps me going. He is my strength. And joy is not fake positivity. You've often heard me say this. I haven't said it in a while. But some people look at me and the energy and the excitement. Listen, I am not a freak show. I'm not a weirdo, really. This should be normal for people who wake up and experience the strength of God to get up for 34 straight years and preach the word. It's not possible without the joy of the Lord. This gets boring. You get tired of this. You just want to quit. You want to give up. But with the joy of the Lord, you can't wait to preach the next sermon. You can't wait to share your testimony. It's the joy of the Lord that keeps me going. Not the ministry, not the sermon, not Sunday mornings. It's the joy of the Lord. I get tired. The only thing keeps me going is the joy of the Lord. And that only comes in God's presence. And then finally, God's presence promotes hope. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer. Oh, God desires us to bear the fruit of joy so that we can be a source of hope. We can be a source of encouragement. We can be a source of life and joy, that we would become a light in the dark world. And my prayer for those 13 people from the pews, from the seats of Gospel Light Baptist Church that are going to the city of New York, that they would take with them God's presence to provide, to promote and provide hope to the city of New York. Number one, see life through God's perspective. Number two, stay close to God's presence. And number three, and in closing, serve a greater purpose. Serve a greater purpose. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, what does modern culture tell us? Modern culture tells us to focus on ourselves. That the most important thing is me, not you. I'm the most important. I got to look out for number one. Make sure I've got enough money. Make sure I've got, before anybody else, I got to make sure I'm okay. But here's what I found out. That may be what modern culture tells us, but what I have found out is that the most miserable people in all the world are those people who are self-focused. So I don't buy it. I don't buy that that's what makes you happy, to be focused on yourself. Years ago, years, 30, 40, I've been saved 47 years. 40, I guarantee it's 40 years ago, I memorized this song, and I've been singing it nearly every week, sometimes every day, but for surely today, here's how it goes. It's an oldie. You don't know it. I'll sing it anyway. It's my theme song of Eric Capace's life. Here it is. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. That's the theme song of my life. I want my life to be a light to those around me. You know, the word joy is a beautiful word. You look at it on the screen and it just, man, isn't that beautiful? It just looks good, doesn't it? It just makes you feel like the word joy. But what does that joy really mean? The acrostic that everyone in the building knows is this. J stands for Jesus. O stands for others. And the last is who? Yourself. The acrostic, it's almost as if it was a supernatural, enlightening truth that the word joy actually tells the story of how to get it. Put Jesus first. Put others second. I got a text from my daddy this morning. Throw me that phone. I'll show you this real quick. I didn't do this in the first service. But this is my text from my daddy. Let me read. Let me get to it. It was pretty cool. I said, Dad, this is one of the greatest days of my life, as it will be the first Father's Day that all three of my boys are dads. All three of my boys and your grandsons are leading their families to Jesus and will be in church this morning together. It's with overwhelming gratitude that I thank you for leading me to learn to lead them so they can lead theirs. I love you deeply, Dad, Eric. And he wrote, love you with all I got, son. Just remember, God first, others second, self third. That was before I showed the acrostic. I said, Dad, amen. That's in the sermon today. As they used to say, that'll preach. Joy. Three things that produce the fruit of joy, and I'll close. Connection to Christ produces joy. Got to be connected to the vine. Look at it in John 15. I'm the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So how do we get joy? Stay connected to the vine. You only produce joy in your life by staying connected to the joy giver. The source of joy is Jesus. Branches only bear fruit when they're connected to the vine. Joy is relational before joy is emotional. It's emotional, but it's relational first. Joy flows from your intimacy with Christ. And so believers who walk closest with Jesus usually will radiate something different. Not perfection, for sure, as you well know from your pastor. I make more mistakes maybe than anybody in the room. But what I do have is spiritual stability. You see, their circumstances may not be perfect, but their soul is connected to the vine, and that changes everything. Number two, compassion for others produces joy. Compassion for others. We'll get into that more as we get through the series. But just quickly, I love 3 John verse 4. It says, I have no greater joy than this. No greater joy. But then to hear that my children those I've invested in, those I've poured my life into, not just my earthly children, but the people in this church whom I love, that they're walking in truth. There is deep joy in seeing others helped because of your obedience. There's deep joy in that. There's joy in serving. There's joy in encouraging. There's joy in giving. There's joy in helping. There's joy in lifting others up. Why did we all throw our hands together when Josh got up and said, hey, man, we had a kid. He came depressed. He came troubled. He came anxious. He came a mess. But by the end of the week, he was on the front row. And he was at the altar. And he got saved. And he was at the front row taking notes. And we're all, what? We helped somebody. We gave somebody a glimpse of what it's like to be filled with joy, and they responded, and that gives us joy. There is joy in those things. Your life will never make sense until you discover it's not about you. And then finally, communion in the Word produces joy. Communion in the Word. Your words, Jeremiah said, were found, and I ate them. Your words became a delight to me, and the joy of my heart. Here's my testimony. When I neglect the Word of God, I become spiritually dry and I lose my joy. That's my testimony. When I'm in the Word, I'm just a different person. I'm on fire. God's words are the joy of my heart. Yesterday in Spark Huddle, one of our Spark Huddle participants, I won't tell you who it was, it's not important, but it's not as positive as Austin's, but one of our Spark Huddle guys said, man, I gotta confess, guys, I have not read my Bible this week. It was a really good moment. Because you know these Spark Huddles are for transparency, right? Because you feel like you can trust the group you're with. So he just, Mark, you were there. He just poured his heart out, said, man, I haven't read the Word this week. And he said, but man, I'm so glad I'm here. This is really convicting. I need the Word, because we studied Philippians chapter 1 yesterday. And he confessed, hey, I'm spiritually dry. By the way, that man came up to the altar. We prayed together this morning. It was awesome. I don't think he'd mind me telling you who it was, but it's not important. What's important is that you understand, you know the truth, that if you've not read your Bible this week, this is not enough. Just coming to hear me tell you what I've learned by reading my Bible. You need to get in the Word yourself. The Word is what will produce joy. The Bible renews our minds. It strengthens our faith. It reminds us of truth. And when we feed on negativity, when we feed on fear, when we feed on cultural chaos, our joy will diminish. But when we feed on God's Word, our joy grows. So I'd like to ask the worship team to come on up as we close. And as they make their way to the front and we finish this second fruit of the Spirit, this summer series, I love this. I want to ask you a question. And I've been asking this question. I think I'll probably ask it all summer long. I'll just ask it a little differently. Who around you this week will need the fruit of joy in your life to help them? Who? Somebody's going to need it. You already know who it was last week that needed love. I think I found 25 or 30 people last week that needed the fruit of love in my life. I really do. It was a crazy week of love. Crazy week of loving others. And by the way, I didn't always do it. Few times I think I missed the mark. But I think because I was reminded of it, I did a little more than I would have. So number one, maybe somebody at work may need your encouragement. Maybe somebody you work with, somebody you see every day. That most of the time you see them as just somebody that is at assembly line or loading a truck or just whatever. But this is different. You know they need your encouragement. Maybe it's somebody at home that's going to need hope. Somebody discouraged may need your smile. I know I needed Jimmy Porter's smile this morning. Maybe somebody overwhelmed needs your faith. Maybe somebody that's anxious. I feel like the man at the gym whose wife and he have split up and it was a mess. I feel like he was just anxious. He was just so anxious. And so I just listened for 30 minutes. And when he left, he said, I just feel better. I just feel better. Thanks for listening. Maybe somebody just needs you to listen. And in that moment, you'll provide some joy. What am I saying? I'm saying the Holy Spirit produces joy in us so we can bring hope to others. So please remember, to be a thermostat this week and change the atmosphere of those around you. And if I could just say one last word to dads in the building, dads, would you be a joyful thermostat in your home this week? Try it. See what it looks like when you walk in those doors and you're not taking the world in with you, and you're not going to give your family the leftovers. You're going to stop when you pull up in the garage and say, okay, Lord, you're my strength. There's going to be an explosion in a few minutes when I walk out. I'm going to hug everybody I see, kiss everybody I see. I'm going to get on the ground and play games. I'm going to provide some joy, even though I don't feel like it and the day's been tough. I know you can give me strength to take care of the most important people in my life, my family. Be that thermostat. It's your choice to rejoice. Not because life is easy. Life is not easy. Not because circumstances are always pleasant. Sometimes they absolutely stink. Cancer stinks. I hate it. Not because problems disappear, but because God is good. He's always good. He's faithful. He's present. He's working. And he's worthy of our praise. The world needs believers whose joy points people to Jesus. So this week, let's remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Every head bowed and every eye closed. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this week, as we close this service and begin another week to be able to take it to the streets, I pray that God would just move in this moment. We're going to give an invitation. We always do. We're going to sing a beautiful song, and we're going to lead you into worship. And if you need to make a decision, if anybody here has never been saved, you've never truly given your life to Christ. We had four saved that we know of, maybe more, but four this week at Teen Revolution that we know of, maybe more. It's exciting. Josh mentioned this is the 13th service of the week. So people have been saved in this building this week. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to give their life to Christ. We'll be up front, ready to pray with you if you need someone to just talk to about that. Maybe you need to come and pray, just have a moment with God. Or maybe you just need to pray with your spouse or your child on this Father's Day. Maybe, son, you need to pray with dad. I don't know what you need, but whatever it is, just respond or just worship. Just follow the Spirit's lead. Father, I love you. I thank you for this opportunity in this moment. And God, I pray that you would take the word and that you would begin now, Lord, to do a little surgery on our hearts. And Lord, may we just really look within and discover those areas of our lives that need some adjustment when it comes to the fruit of joy, that we might be sensitive to your Spirit who has empowered us to have this fruit evident and visible in our lives. But sometimes, God, it isn't, because we just have the wrong perspective. We've been drained of all of our spiritual fervor and fire because we've been out of the Word. God, bring us, Lord, today. Draw us closer to you, Father. Your love, your long-suffering, your patience with us, we feel it this morning. We know you're not angry with us. You're not. You love us. And you provide these sermons and you provide these songs to bring us to a place of decision and a place of repentance. It's your goodness that calls us to that. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, shall we?